response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Being a loyal listener is like being part of an exclusive club or a really weird cult. A tradition better than Sunday dinner with the family. Coming to you live from Atlanta, it's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And why is bacon so inconsistent when you order it out? Completely inconsistent. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. You want to see your loan options, be able to adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Let Rocket Mortgage help you out with the whole process here. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Can you tell I'm hungry? I'm a little hungry. But bacon? Completely inconsistent. I just happened to be reading something about bacon before we came back on the air. Anthony, do you know anywhere where consistently the bacon is done extremely well?
I always have to tell everybody, crunchy. I want my bacon crunchy.
Yes, you want it a little more well done. You want it crispy.
Yes.
Like crispy, crunchy. Yes, you don't want it chewy.
No. Hate chewy.
Do you know any place, though, that you've ever encountered? Is there a place you know every single time the bacon's going to be awesome? Did you ever see these commercials during the NFL games today where they show you like the burger that has bacon on it? And the strips of bacon look like something I've never seen at any restaurant in my life.
Well, I could really go for bacon, egg, and cheese right now with a nice orange juice.
So you like the orange juice?
Yes, I love the orange juice. I have to have orange juice with my bacon, egg, and cheese. Every time I go to the deli to get my bacon, egg, and cheese, I get an orange juice and a newspaper with it.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Grandpa, you buy the newspaper? You buy the newspaper?
Yes.
Really?
Most of the time, it's either the New York Daily News or the New York Post. Usually, it's one of those two.
So, in other words, then you don't have to buy toilet paper. So you save, you're doubling up. You've saved yourself. My gosh. If you're going to read, why don't you read a Dick and Jane book? If that's what you're reading. The New York Post? The New York Daily News? Oh, my gosh.
You're still good for the sports coverage.
Yes. By the way, excellent sports coverage. John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. That's Tony Pierno. He's the brains of the operation behind the scenes. Follow him on Twitter, and you can get along with that. We will not be doing a top five wrestlers yesterday. I caught some of that from Ken Carmen's fantastic program.
Yeah, well, I did. Tell you this. A lot of wrestling fans, well over 110 responses.
Were they pissed? Were they pissed with your list?
No, everyone's interacting, going back and forth, having fun with each other, having
a
good time.
To have fun. Isn't that the idea of the format? Isn't that the idea of this format? Having fun?
Should be.
It should be.
Unfortunately, a lot of times it's not.
It's not rocket science. It really isn't. It really, really isn't. Okay, got a lot coming up this hour, including NFL discussion with Steve DiAsi, 11-year NFL veteran. And look, I'm going to ask him point blank, something I'm going to ask you here at the top of the hour. He'll join us around 20 minutes past the hour. All the injuries that have happened in the NFL. Okay, here are the big names that we know are out. All right? George Kittle, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, Dee Ford, A.J. Brown. By the way, 49ers ravaged. A.J. Brown, Zach Moss, Cam Akers, Jalen Reagor, Geno Atkins, James White, Henry Ruggs, A.J. Terrell, Christian McCaffrey, Tyrod Taylor, Drew Lock, Christian Kirk, Michael Thomas. Adam Schefter putting out that list from ESPN that's last night, and there's more to come. I mean, seriously, more to come with this. To me, is there a coincidence to this? I think not. We always joke about how long, or people complain about how long training camp is in the NFL. We always are being told, man, fans, we hate these preseason games. And no one hates the preseason games more than I do. I absolutely just, I loathe them. Do not like them at all. But are they necessary? Are we finding out this year, because of a pandemic, how necessary they actually are? That those games be played? That we have that kind of, you know, where guys can have live bullets flying, actually feel what it's like to get tackled? Because I think we're finding it out this year, for whatever reason. And the MetLife turf is being blamed this week. And what I'm going to ask is, Anthony, and you know your Jets better than I do. I went on and looked and said, wait a minute here. I don't see that the MetLife turf seems to be this devil's triangle, Bermuda Triangle of injuries.
No,
compared to other teams. So what's going on?
And the Giants and Steelers didn't seem to have any problem week one when they faced each other at MetLife.
Has anyone speculated in the New York media that they had the wrong shoes on? That they were wearing the wrong, like the wrong turf shoes?
That has been brought up.
Because all I could think of is that that's it. But making it out to be, oh my gosh, it's the MetLife turf. I'm like, okay, then show me where all these other teams are having that problem. And they're not. They're not, including the teams that play on the turf. Is there some secret little passage where they pull a lever and all of a sudden the turf gets real tacky when the opposing team's on offense or something? Come on. Give me a break. It really is, though, a ravaged number of injuries. I think we're finding out that in the year of COVID, less preparation is causing teams to taking the shorts a bit. Now, I don't believe you need four preseason games. Never did. Two? Yeah. My fear would be is that if you have two preseason games, teams aren't going to want to play their starters anyway in one of them. So what are you really going to get out of it? But the sooner we get back to normal preparation for teams and normal protocols for an off season, I think the NFL will be better. I don't know that the NFL's product has been bad, though. I'll be honest with you. I've been watching the Philadelphia Eagles, and believe me, the NFL's product's bad if I just judge by the Eagles. Phew. Pitiful. Awful start. A chance to maybe win back some of my confidence today. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But I haven't watched the NFL and gone, man, the product's terrible. So maybe they've learned a little bit about that they don't need as much preseason, but maybe they need more offseason. They need more OTAs. They need more of that work ethic to come in. The Lakers advanced to their 10th NBA Finals. Well, no, I should say LeBron James advances to his 10th NBA Finals. Excuse me on that. Edit. As they knock off the Nuggets. So LeBron and the Lakers make it to the finals. And yes, you know that me and Bron Bon have a complicated relationship, to say the least. But for LeBron to deliver, he was brought to the Lakers to help them to get back to trying to win a championship. If he delivers them a championship, he's done his job. I don't want to hear about any, well, this year was unlike others. I don't want to hear with, well, go win a second one in a real, I don't want to hear any of that. LeBron James will have delivered again for another franchise. And it deserves to be applauded and celebrated. It's a fantastic accomplishment. And don't give me that, well, this is the bubble and the bubble's not real and everything. What it tells me is LeBron James and his teammates, maybe they were a little more all in than some other teams. The Nuggets certainly looked all in. And congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. If you're a Denver Nuggets fan, you're thinking, okay, this team can win me a championship. Next few years, we can see this team win a championship. But now I get you to the complicated part. The Celtics and the Heat, game 6 tonight. Is there anybody feeling it? Anthony, what was Robin Lundberg saying? Yes, I didn't get to hear much of Robin yesterday. Celtics and the Heat. Does he believe either one of these teams is a legit challenger potentially to the Lakers?
Absolutely not. He said after watching Game 5, it just reaffirmed his belief that this is the Lakers' year.
I mean, it really is. It does look that way. It really does. But I got to tell you that I'm so impressed by the Heat. I was so impressed by the Nuggets. And I've been scolded by some people saying, welcome to the party, Kincaid, welcome to the party. And look, I raised my hand and told you so. I didn't watch a lot of Heat during the regular season. I didn't watch a lot of Denver Nuggets basketball. So I'm not acting like I'm, hey man, now I'm the biggest Nugget fan or the biggest Heat fan. I tend to watch with the NBA, I tend to watch the teams that I either cover, that I talk about on a daily basis, and right now I have none. Radio free agent available for you. But I don't have the time, to be watching all the other games above whatever else I'm watching. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. I think the NBA bubble's been fun. There's something missing, though. There's just something missing. You want to get in with us, you can call at 855-212-4CBS. Probably not going to get a lot of calls in this hour, but if you got in quickly, maybe you can. 855-212-4CBS. We're sponsored by Geico. And did you know right now, Geico's offering you an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? I want you to visit geico.com to be able to learn more today. And again, as I told you before, if you're adding a teenage daughter, driver, to your auto insurance policy, let Geico have a chance to win your business. Just a little hint. Sometimes you can save yourself some serious, serious cash. So, the SEC's back. We saw that yesterday. The conference that set the tone for college football now just needs some good fortune. Because, point blank, we would not be having college football if it wasn't for the guidance of Commissioner Slive and the SEC. There would have been no college football. Because the Big Ten, you know, they had science on their side. You know, science just said they couldn't go forward with the fall season. It's just, no, can't do it. Can't do it. And then the Pac-12, like lapdogs, was like, okay. Yeah, us too. We're not going to go either. The science. Completely ignoring that some of the brightest minds in epidemiology in the entire country had told the SEC that it was safe to go. I mean, honestly, it's a strange, strange turn of events. So the ACC joins in, Big 12 joins in, and life looks good again. We've got college football again. Tom in Oakland joins us. Tom, you're on the John Kincaid Show. Good morning, Tom. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Mr. Kincaid. I'm driving home from the city of Oakland, and I heard your opening remarks about your purchasing a weapon for your wife, and you were concerned.
How about that? She wanted one for her birthday.
She wanted one. You were concerned maybe that because of your current employment state that you might be concerned about your welfare, correct?
Yeah, she may take me out. I mean, because if I spend too much time around the house till I start something new, she may take me out. I just want to know, you're a witness for me. If she does, you're a witness.
Okay, a couple of tips for Mrs. Kincaid if she's going to be a suspect. The best thing to do, because I've had this discussion with my wife, is to have the party, in your case, that would be you, kidnapped, and then we get rid of the body. Very difficult to go ahead and prosecute the homicide if we can't get a body.
Oh, so if there's no body, then, so she needs me kidnapped.
Yeah, you know, well, we can go work that out. You know, there's a lot of stuff on the dark web.
I love this, detective.
Yeah,
this is good stuff.
All right, on to more important things. Look, I'm a Pac-10 graduate. My wife is, my two daughters, and I am disgusted with Larry Scott, who should have been fired 4 years ago for the deal he made, thinking that he could go ahead and outmuscle the Big 12 or Big 10 in terms of TV revenue, which was his brilliant little idea that has failed spectacularly. And they've become a little lapdog to the Big Ten because they're not generating as much revenue.
Yes. So you are, and remember, the science. The science, they had very different science than the rest of the sports
right.
leagues, everybody.
Exactly. You're going to Costco today to practice safe science, okay?
Yes, exactly.
And one other thing that you mentioned about injuries, I actually heard a piece from Bill Polian, the former
GM. Yes, I know Bill.
Okay, and he had mentioned that the NFL goes ahead and keeps track, isolates each injury, and then does an analysis at the end of the year. And I can't remember who was doing the interview, but they said that they won't, Polian said they won't know whether the injuries are up year over year until the end of the year. Obviously,
okay.
because they haven't played the full season yet.
All right.
Does that make sense?
So we'll find out at the end of the year.
That is correct.
There you go. Okay, one last question for you, Detective.
Yeah, go ahead.
How are you going to chase down perps or have surveillance in an electric car? Because you're going to have electric cars soon. You're not going to be able to have a gas car soon.
Yeah, first of all, we'd like to thank California for their participation in the union. It is so, don't come out here. It is, the only thing we haven't had yet is the earthquake.
All right, well, let's hope you don't. I love you, buddy. Thank you, man. Thanks for checking in from his electric car. He might check it in with us. All right, we've got a lot coming up. Steve DiAsi knows the NFL like the back of his hand. What does he think about less preseason? Has he seen it reflected in play? We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Your NFL Sunday always starts here. This is the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I love it. We're talking about the NFL every single Sunday here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Glad that we're able to welcome back Steve DiAsi to the show. Now, never bothered me when he was a Giant or a Jet. Patriot too, right, Steve?
Yep, a couple years. Yeah.
And then, but when you were a Cowboy, I couldn't stand you. Just want you to know, as an Eagles fan, I just couldn't. I couldn't even stand the sight of your last name on a jersey.
What a coincidence. We were so bad back then that I couldn't stand myself either.
How are you doing this morning, Steve?
I'm doing great, John. Good to hear from you. Everything well?
Good to hear from you, too. Good. All right. You see the rash of injuries in the NFL. And I know NFL players have bargained the last two collective bargaining agreements to have less of an off season. Now, COVID year is crazy, but players have longed to have less time on the practice field, more time to themselves. Are they paying the price for those decisions, Steve?
Well, I this happens every few years when you have a number of marquee players get injured, that the subject comes up. But again, in situations like this, I'll defer to probably one of the greatest football minds ever. And Bill Belichick said this 4 or 5 years ago about how sometimes it helps, or a lot of times it helps guys to get used to the feeling of the hitting and get used to the feeling of the contact. And the other thing you learn through a training camp with some hitting at least is how to either absorb the hit the right way or take the hit the right way, or a guy do what Emmitt Smith did for years. He would see the hit coming and use your energy to bounce off you and get more yards. There's little things that you can't learn by just talking about it or watching it on film. It's one of those things where you learn through the pain of hitting and getting hit. Sometimes where you discretion is the better part of valor when it comes to making a move or whatever. But I think there is some validity to that you do need to get the body conditioned to the violence of the game. But usually what happens when you're some marquee players like this go down, they start trying to investigate the fields or look at different scenarios that maybe rule changes could help. But I do believe that a little bit more contact might in the preseason might help. And maybe that's part of this whole COVID thing this year. But we've seen this before in previous years where some stars get hurt and then they go into trying to figure out the reasons.
You played at the old vet, so I know that you would have loved to have had some investigations of that back in the day. Really, that could have helped you.
I want to investigate the fans to get the field, all right?
There you go. That's a long investigation. Steve DiAssi joins us, 11-year NFL vet here on the John Kincaid Show. So, in a normal year, people will always say 0-2 is like you're in a must-win in week 3. When there's 7 teams in each conference making the postseason this year and you get that extra wild card, do you think that narrative changes, that 0-3 isn't really a death sentence?
Well, I mean, it's not a ringing endorsement for making the playoffs, but I agree. Anytime you open things up a little bit, it'll give you a little bit of hope. But I think the real thing is the mentality of where your season's going. It's easy when you lose your first 3 games. It's easy for the guys to look around. If you don't have great leadership on the team, it's very easy for guys to get down and distracted, and without even knowing it, without even acknowledging it. Next thing you know, you're kind of trudging to work the next week, and you're angry and disappointed, and that interferes with some of your study habits or whatever. But I don't think it's a death sentence that it used to be, but it really depends on the leadership of your team, both the coaches and the players, and the internal idea of where they're trying to go. If you've got good leaders on the team, you can find a way past that way easier than you could in previous years.
If I took Bill Belichick off the board, okay, so he's off the board, and I said to you, you're watching a slew of NFL games every single week. Tell me who you think you say, I see that team and they are consistently well-coached.
Well, I think you look at Seattle. Okay. Right off the bat, I mean, Pete Carroll. I had the honor of playing for him for just a half a year at the Jets, and I just that half a year alone, I came to respect him for being a very very smart coach.
Yeah, what was it about him that was maybe different than other coaches you dealt with?
His ability to relate his ideas to his players, his ability to express in a very straightforward, no nonsense way of what he was expecting. What he wanted from you, and where he saw you in relationship to helping this team win. I think that he was able to first off, very very bright X's and O's guy. I mean, that goes without saying. But the communication aspect of letting guys know how they're going to help the team and what they can do to help the team win, and what's expected of them, and the other thing that I've noticed with great coaches is the offer to help in whatever situation you need. If you're not figuring something out, or if you don't know that, if you're not capable of facing it, you're not capable of doing one thing that they want you to do, maybe they find something else that you can help this team win. I think Pete Carroll's one of those guys. You can easily see what he's done with it, and you look at any number. Some of these young guys are very impressive. Very guy that's got a good relationship with his players, and I think that's even more important than it has been in the past. These guys want to know that they're on the same page. It used to be the coach, on the Mount Olympus of what's going on, and then there's the players and the assistant coach and the, now it's these guys all want to feel like a team, and I get it. And some of these young coaches understand that and appreciate it. And you see a trend towards young coaches in the NFL. And I think that's a response to some of the young guys in the league now, or some of the guys in the league now. They want to know that the coach isn't just some guy handing out assignments. The coach is in the process with them, and sometimes it helps to have a younger guy there. I still like a coach with a lot of experience, an Andy Reid type guy, but you can see how it's probably a smart idea. These guys, it's a different breed of players than it was even just 25 years ago. These guys they feel like it's a group effort, and the coach is part of that group. Now, a very important part of the group But it's, you know, it's one of these things where these guys got to be more cognizant of how to communicate with these guys. Back in the day, communication was, here's what you're going to do. If you're not going to do it, you're going to be on the next train out.
Exactly. All right, so, I got one more for you, and I only got like a minute left. Tell me if why I expected defense to be a little further ahead of offense in this COVID year, and I think it's been exactly the opposite. Defense looks like it's a step behind.
Well, I think part of it is that these offenses realize that they're opening things up. It's no longer, you know, test the waters and see where the game plan takes you. It's come out of the gate flying, and they're just taking every opportunity to open things up. You saw that. 16 teams score 30 plus points last week. 16 or 17 teams. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And these offensive coaches are getting even more and more inventive, and they're throwing all sorts of stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And now the defensive coaches have to scramble just to figure out not just which formation, but which personnel group, but which crazy routes, and which, you know, you get more teams going for it on fourth down than ever before. There's a lot of crazy things going on. I love it. I don't mind the wide open thing. But all I'm waiting for is the next defensive move to counter all this stuff. That's what I love about the chess game of the NFL.
All right, before I let you go, you have one career interception. Who was it against?
I have to remember. I don't.
Okay.
I don't remember who.
I thought that would be a memorable thing for you.
Are we counting preseason? Because I had one in preseason.
No, we don't count preseason.
I ran back for a touchdown though.
I don't care that you did that. It wasn't real.
Then I forgot that I had to snap for the extra point. I was on the bench and I forgot that I had to snap for the extra point after I ran it in. But no, I don't know. Was it Cleveland?
We're gonna find out by the next time you're on who that interception was against. Thanks, Steve.
A moment in history, the NFL.
That you don't even remember. There you go.
John Facenda's voice on that.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, talk to you.
There you go. Steve DiAzzi joining us here on the John Kincaid Show.
About the stories behind the box scores. Back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And what a year it's been for the box scores. It's been it's just a couple months. 60 games met with a lot of skepticism by some of the biggest names in baseball analysts, believing that there was no way they could pull this off. CJ Nitkowski was a part of it all. As this season like no other went down with the Texas Rangers and more, and he joins us from MLB Network Radio. CJ, first of all, how are you doing? How's the family? How did you get through COVID?
I appreciate it. I'm good. Everything was fine. I got very lucky. I had a very mild case. It cost me, unfortunately, calling the last seven games that I had on my schedule.
Yes.
But some mild symptoms for me, and very fortunate. You know, I heard a lot of stories. A lot of people reached out after I had tested positive.
And they're like,
Yeah, heard some pretty amazing stories, even from some young, healthy people. So I think I got lucky. I mean, I'm not a virologist, whatever it is that these guys do, and tell you about what strain is which, but I felt like potentially maybe I got a pretty light strain. I was a little bit achy for a day, still went into quarantine and everything else, but I felt like I could have kept working, but you got to follow those rules.
There you go. Got to do it. So tell me, though, I'm sure you plopped your backside in front of a television. I'm sure you worked out a little, and you just watched baseball 24/7.
For the most part, I felt like I was in prison with the television doing push-ups in my room and everything else and watching as much baseball. And then during the day, I think I was watching a ton of Chicago PD.
Oh, you what? Chicago PD. Now, that was the that's the one on NBC.
It was on USA, so these were repeats.
Oh, it's like older ones.
Yeah, this is like,
No General Hospital for you.
I'm not a soap opera guy.
No Young and the Restless, dude.
No, I can't. I couldn't.
Yes,
that would drive me crazy.
You watch Chicago PD.
It's a soap opera. I guess
it's a soap opera. Come on.
With a little more action, and I think a little better acting. Not much, but a little better.
No. You haven't seen there's a lot of action in Port Charles.
Yeah.
The kind of action I think that would interest you. I'm telling you. I'm just going to tell you. CJ, tell me this, though. 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
They're sending 16 teams to the postseason.
Yeah.
Do you believe the top seeds are very vulnerable, potentially vulnerable, because of this crazy best of three type situation?
I think a lot of them are vulnerable, and I think that's what's going to make this postseason
exciting. Tell me who you see
exciting.
Vulnerable.
Well, I will tell you, whoever has to play, it depends who you have to play, which we still don't know yet, right?
Yes,
so whoever has to, whoever has to play the Cincinnati Reds, the Reds are going to be a low seed, right? They're going to, assuming
that's
they
the
get
Braves
in.
The Braves right now.
Yeah, and that could change, but right now it's the Braves. And so the idea, like, if they end up losing, some of these other teams win. There's so many tiebreaker scenarios, it's difficult to go through them all. But whoever has to play the Reds right now, because Luis Castillo is pitching like the Cy Young candidate we thought he should have been this year. He ended up not being that guy, but he has been lately. Trevor Bauer's really good. Sonny Gray's really good. So you talk about three starters having in a three-game series, that could be a problem. Now, the Braves, as an example, are the one team that can slug as good as anybody in this league. And so that lineup runs deep. And so maybe as a Braves fan, you wouldn't be as concerned, but it would still be bothering you, especially when you think about what happened last year and losing to the St. Louis Cardinals. So they're a team that's vulnerable, or any team that has to play the Reds, or any team that has to play the Indians, are going to be vulnerable because of the depth of their starting pitching in a short season. I would say a team like the Oakland A's right now, who have played some really good baseball and won that division relatively easily, just got swept yesterday in a doubleheader by the Seattle Mariners. They're a good team, but you look up and down the lineup, and there's nobody that's jumping off the page that you're saying, man, we got to avoid this guy. This guy's been crushing the league all year. Then there's a handful of that going on right now. I would say almost everybody is vulnerable in the first round. Maybe the Dodgers are the one team that you feel best about.
Are you a believer that in like if I was to ask you 10 years ago, do you believe that if I said to you, hey, do you want superior starting pitching or a superior bullpen? Has your opinion changed in the last 10 years?
That's a good question. I think I'd still take this. If you're talking about superior, then
superior.
I would still take
you're
the rotation.
Top four or five in all of baseball.
Yeah, if I run deep enough, I probably want the rotation, even though what's going to be difficult, no days off this postseason, will make that kind of tricky.
Why did they do that, CJ?
I think
it makes no sense, though.
TV. I have to think it was TV. Like, TV probably had a lot of influence here. I'm shocked that we don't have any game scheduled. There's a weekend in there where we don't have any game scheduled, right? If you can avoid going up against college football and the NFL, you try to the best that you possibly can in the postseason. That's happened year in and year out. Now, sometimes you just have to pick your poison. You want to go up against Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, especially during the World Series. It's hard to avoid. And so you have to wear it for one of those and hope that you have the better matchup and maybe there's a weak football matchup. But television has a lot to do with it. They have the entire time. I thought, you know what? Listen, you've given them more games. Maybe we could get some off days, but that's not the way that it went down. So that's the part that's going to affect it this year as far as whether you'd rather have starters.
I talked to Jeff Francoeur about it when the schedule came out, and I said, and National League Division Series, American League Division Series, 5 games in 5 days if you have to play all five. So that changes your top starting pitcher can come back in game five on 3 days rest. I mean, this totally changes the dynamic. And I wonder if teams like the Braves and some others that have superior bullpens, if they can get to that 5-game series, may find themselves at a huge advantage.
Could be. It depends on how much they have to use those guys. Like, I'm concerned for the Braves and how much do they have to push that bullpen and what are you doing? Are guys going to throw your top arms 3 days in a row? And then what do they look like on that third day is going to be probably something that comes into play for a team that's going to rely heavier on their bullpen than they will their starting rotation. I think the Yankees are probably in that same situation. The Oakland A's are in that very similar situation. Now, they run deep, and that's why it's important to run deep. But when you think about last year and the way that the Nationals did it, relying so heavily on their starting rotation, a couple of guys stepping up in the bullpen out of nowhere. That's why I have a tendency to lean rotation. But over the course of a regular season, there's something about, listen, if you can't have that rotation, then build that bullpen. We've seen that work as well. So I think you can do it both ways. I don't know if one way over the other, because here's the thing with the starter, right? If the starter doesn't have it that day, that game's pretty much done. Where if the reliever doesn't have it that day, you get him out of there and you go to another one, right? Where you can't do that with the starter. So I guess if you're sitting there, especially in this scenario, it's a tough one for me. But would I rather be the Cleveland Indians or would I rather be the Oakland A's, right? Or the New York Yankees with their better bullpens, and that, and obviously the Indians offense hasn't been very good this year, better this year. But I'd be tempted with the depth of that rotation to pick a team like Cincinnati or Cleveland.
I'm wondering what, with CJ Nikowski from MLB Network Radio joining us here, John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, what baseball will keep from the pandemic season and what they will get rid of for 2021. And considering it's the last year before a new collective bargaining agreement, I would figure almost anything's on the table for next year.
Yeah, I think,
if I'm making you commissioner this morning. Did you know that? You're commissioner.
I appreciate it. I could use the pay raise.
You tell me what stays and what goes from special pandemic year rules. Do you want eight teams in each league in the postseason? Do you want anything you want? It's on the board. You get met, you're in total control.
So I do like the postseason. Now, I think it should have to play out. I know some people have been critical of it. Let's see how it plays out. But the idea that day one we're getting four games, the days that we would get four playoff games in one day used to be a treat, right? Last year we got it twice. It doesn't always work out that way. Last year we got lucky and it happened twice. We're going to get four games and then we're going to get eight the next day. I'm very excited about that. For me, that is like, you know, that is the Super Bowl where you get that many postseason games in one day. So let's see how that plays out. And I think that that potentially is something that could stick. I know Rob Manfred has already said maybe we'd go down to seven instead of eight in each league. Let's just keep it at eight for me and keep it balanced. I think that the universal DH, I've been a proponent of it for a long time. I do think that has to stick. And I think there's a pretty good chance. I think the union would be okay. The seven-inning doubleheaders, as much as I've enjoyed them as a broadcaster, probably not. And the reason being that you run into is because if you're going to do seven-inning doubleheaders, the odds of you doing two separate, like a split doubleheader, two different gates, doesn't make any sense. And
correct.
So I don't think owners are going to be on board with that, right? The idea of having a one and a seven for owners, and I know we don't have nearly as many doubleheaders as we have this year, but I think in a regular season, as much as it's been enjoyable, it's probably not going to fly. We'll see about the roster size. Talking to some of these managers, they've gotten so used to now managing with 28. Remember, it was supposed to be 26 this year. We were supposed to go plus one. Then with COVID, it was going to be 30 for 2 weeks, 28 for 2 weeks, and we were supposed to go back to the 26. But because of some of what happened with the Marlins and the Cardinals and others, they decided, you know what, we're just going to keep it at 28 for the year. And so the 28-man roster, I think the union, obviously they'd be on board because there's two more jobs that are there, but they're going to have to give up something else to make that happen. So I think that somehow maybe makes its way into the conversation. I hated the idea of the three batter minimum rule to begin with for relievers, and it really was targeted kind of at lefties. And for a guy that I think I went back and looked, I pitched in 80-something games where I only faced two hitters or less. That allowed me to have a job a little bit longer than I probably deserved to have. I would like that to kind of go away. I know that was here anyway, but to me that's one that I just didn't see the upside from when you're talking about pace of play and pitching changes.
I am so excited, though, to be able to just just dive headfirst into baseball this week. It's going to be
great.
I think baseball may have its most exciting postseason week ever.
There's no juggernaut, right? There's no team where you're going, this isn't fair because they threw so much money at their team and look how great they are, right? I mean, the Dodgers are probably the favorite on paper, but their history tells us don't get too comfortable in the postseason. And again, especially if they run into one of these teams, and they're a good hitting team, but they run into one of these clubs that has that deeper starting pitching. And the Reds are the team that most are talking about in that regard. We'll see what happens with the Padres. They've been a fun team to watch. It seems like LeMet is okay. He was dealing with some bicep issues. Clevinger is pretty important for them. They're a completely different team without those two guys. Like, they're a young, exciting offense, but if they don't have their 1-2, I don't know who can win in the postseason without their 1-2.
I knew my Phillies weren't going to do anything, so I didn't bet on them. But when I was in Las Vegas before the season began, I put some money down on the Braves to win the World Series.
Nice.
And
that's
going,
a good one.
You know what? I'm like, you know what? I think it's actually got a chance.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the pitching part always makes you a little bit nervous with them, and it's unfortunate they're not completely healthy, but I'm with you there. And you can slug your way depending on what kind of matchups that you end up with, and it's not just one or two hitters. Again, they run so deep. What I was thinking about with you and knowing your affinity for the Phillies, who are still in this thing, how are you going to handle if the Phillies get eliminated today,
Kapler-led
San Francisco Giants get in? You going to be all
right? Gabe is on my Chip Kelly list. Like, Gabe is he's my baseball Chip Kelly. I don't want my baseball. You know what? I want my baseball manager to look like Girardi.
Uh-huh.
I want him to look like he could get in a South Philly bar fight. I don't want to look like he came out of a. I don't want to look like he just came from being manscaped.
I understand.
Waxed.
But you got to give him credit. Nobody had the Giants. Nobody had the Giants.
No, nobody did, and nobody had
and
the Marlins either.
Nope.
I mean, the Marlins either. And I, you know, so there's a lot there. CJ, you're awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
John, my pleasure, man. Good to catch up.
Talk to you soon. CJ Nikowski joining us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. And by the way, I just got to run this by Pierno, Tony Pierno, our producer, Anthony. You find him on Twitter at Tony Pierno. His sound quality, Anthony, that's like the best sound quality.
Because he has the machine in his house.
Well, I understand, but he's got. But it sounds perfect.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't on the telephone, so he sounds.
No, but I still though. Still though, he's got the. Yeah, but it sounds perfect.
Yeah, it is.
Guy's got perfect pipes for that. That's awesome. That works out really well. Hopefully, you enjoyed having a Saturday of college football. We're going to talk a lot about it here on the final hour of the show, plus preview today's NFL slate. And one of the things I'm looking at is, look, the Saints. Salty Drew Brees was a funny Drew Brees to me. Drew Brees getting salty about his being questioned about his yards per attempt and yards per completion, how many yards were being gained. And he got very defensive about it. That's not something. We're going to hear from Drew Brees on that. That's not something you normally hear from Drew Brees, defensive Drew Brees. The Cowboys should be 0-2. They're 1-1. That matchup with Seattle, truly compelling. But again, Rams and Bills today, circle it on the calendar if you had Rams and Bills as the biggest game of the weekend. And yes, you can tell me anything you want about the others. Rams and Bills is the biggest game of the weekend.
Let's go Rams, baby. Had them in the NFC title game.
Yeah, you did. You believed in the Rams.
I was
Rams.
High on the Rams. 2-0,
baby. I didn't even have them in.
I had the Raiders as a wild card team. They're off to a nice start.
You actually aren't as stupid as I thought you were. It's incredible. You're absolutely amazing. That's a microaggression. I shouldn't have said that. I should have saved that for off the air. Sorry about that. All right, coming up, this is missing the sizzle. And could the biggest game of the weekend be Monday night? We'll get to it next. Final hour of the John Kincaid Show coming your way on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.